Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
All right, here we go on a Friday. It is game day. Chiefs, Chargers tonight. It is Cody and Gold on our first game day of 2025.
Feels good to be back.
Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We've waited 6.5, 7 months, whatever it is at this point in time, for the Chiefs to get back on the field for a game that actually counts, and it does tonight starting at 7. Pre-game begins at 4 o'clock right here on 96.5. The Fan, Josh Briscoe, of course, hosting Chiefs pre and post game. He's actually going to join us 1 hour from now. We'll get his thoughts, perspective on the opener, man. The opener, and last night, we'll get to the game. That kind of gave us a nice little tease and appetizer for tonight. It was a pretty good football game last night, too. But
other than the 1 hour lightning delay.
Yeah, I know a lot of people probably went to bed at that point in time. And, well, you didn't miss much scoring.
You missed 3 points after that. Had those 3 points already been scored?
It was 24-20.
You might have missed zero. You missed 0 points the rest of the way.
That was it.
You didn't miss a single point. That is kind of weird, now that I think about it. But, yeah, it's a game day, man. You waited as long as you did. The Chiefs play an actual football game tonight. It's against a divisional rival. It's in a foreign country, and that kind of adds a different element, I feel like, a little bit, Gold, where it doesn't feel like a – it still feels like kind of a – not an exhibition, but the way a Super Bowl feels or like a neutral site game, it doesn't have the same feeling as like a game in someone's stadium, which is okay because it's our first taste of Chiefs football in a long time. First look at Simmons. First look at the offense now without Rashee Rice, so we won't get the full thing. But, you know, year two, Xavier Worthy, slim down Travis Kelce. First look at the defensive line or the safeties without Justin Reed, any of it. We're going to finally have our first overreactions whatever it is. All that stuff starts tonight, 7 o'clock on YouTube. Obviously, locally, it'll be on 41. And you can hear it right here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Chiefs football. The Royals will be over in the Fan AM if you want to catch some baseball as well. But, yeah, man, it's good. Feels good. Football's back.
Yeah, I love it. This is the best time of the year. Everybody's in the office. There's more energy in the office. Everybody's excited. Talking about their bets a little bit. Fantasy football. All of that. We're going to go through the show a little bit later on and talk about just how we see, of course, it all playing out later on in the season. Not just tonight, but ultimately, as we gave our 7 playoff teams in the AFC-NFC yesterday, we'll narrow this thing down to the AFC-NFC title game, Super Bowl picks. It's also a fan club Friday on a game day. We don't get this ever. I feel like one other time, maybe. Oh, we were off the day they played on Black Friday, so this might be
maybe
the,
just once.
Is this like the first one? Unless you want to count we don't do them on Thursday, so this might be the first ever game day fan club Friday. We have extended an offer. That's all I can say. We've extended an offer to Carrington Harrison to join us for fan club Friday. We'll see if he accepts. You know, him and I have had a week long beef at this point in time. I heard yesterday he was throwing out more stuff. I think he's going to show up in the 1 o'clock hour.
What did he say about you yesterday?
I don't know. KUMU.
If he wants to back up the talk, I think he should show up for.
I agree. For he better show up at 1 o'clock.
I think he should show up.
All this discussion.
I'll tell you right now. He better not say you're afraid to go to Columbia and then no show this show. Because then he's a coward.
Facts.
If he's not willing to come on this show at 1, Carrington officially deemed red rubber stamp on the head, coward. Mm. If he doesn't show up today at 1 o'clock. So I hope we see him then. So that we don't have to, I think, properly call him that outside of it.
I think he'll show up. Looking forward to having CDOT.
As long
stop
as there's
by.
A drink for him, just make sure there's a drink for him and CDOT will be ready.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll drink a beer though, but we'll have something for him. We'll have something for him. You guys can hit us up on
you
the
said
Jays.
You're going to give him like a Kool-Aid pouch or something like that.
Well, Capri Sun. Maybe a Capri Sun or something. Yeah. I don't know. 913-586-7965 is the Jays Southland Tow Service text line. Video stream up and running. Please ignore our producer's clothing attire today. We apologize.
We just won't put him on camera.
Yeah,
today.
He's not allowed to be on camera.
Oh,
allowed to be on camera.
Let me get 10 seconds right now where it is
Cody
a single producer shot.
Yeah.
Why do you always put the orange hoodie underneath the jersey?
Because it's chilly outside.
It is. Red Friday in Kansas City. Cody's rocking his Super Bowl champ, one of the Super Bowl champion hoodies. I obviously got some Chiefs red on.
I'd like to remind people that even though they didn't win this one, they have won many.
Yeah, and Drew is rocking his
Joe Burrow jersey.
Let's go, man.
His Joey jersey.
Joe Scheisty.
Gosh.
I still think that's a bad nickname.
Chris Jones calls him that all the time, man. I love it.
Mm-hmm. It feels like if Chris Jones is calling it, he's doing it as an insult, though.
Mm. He said he loves playing again. He said he loves playing on the same field as him. He loves playing with Joe Burrow.
Yeah. So let's get into how tonight's going to go. Some quick
record
thoughts.
For the season, maybe.
In record for the year. I mean, in general, for tonight's game, like it is game number one, but you start with the divisional opponent. I mean, if you do want to set the tone, I've talked all offseason about just the narrative stuff, but I'm talking for the division, not what the national pundits are saying, but truly for the division. Like the Chiefs have won this thing for 10 years in a row. And if you want to push even closer to passing the Patriots and what they did in the AFC East,
one of the things
it does start tonight against the Chargers team that for years people have said, hey, they're going to get you. They're going to get you. This year, I think more people are on the Broncos maybe being the team that's going to get them. But still, last year, the Chargers were ahead of schedule. Now, what's the next leap look like? They go out and draft a young rookie running back that I think as the season goes on could be a problem. I don't know what it'll be tonight against the Chiefs. I know you're a little concerned about the run defense given with not having some interior guys that they had a year ago. But I think both Herbert and Mahomes are going to have great games tonight. Like, this is somebody that I know was once in the top 10 conversation, clearly is not a top 10 quarterback right now, Justin Herbert. But he still has an opportunity to go out there and can. He's more than capable of going out there and torching you for a given game. He's had some good games against Kansas City. So I want to see who else steps up, if anybody, for the Chargers. The Chiefs have done a nice job on McConkey with McDuffie, but who's the next guy you got to worry about? Is it the vet Keenan Allen going to roll back the clock tonight?
He's had some good games against Kansas City too. I guess a lot of that probably depends on your confidence in the secondary, and your confidence in the secondary also relates to your confidence in the pass rush. I don't love the Chargers' weapons. It's Keenan Allen turning back the clock, Quentin Johnson who can't catch, or Ladd McConkey who's the only decent wide receiver.
Or Quinn Johnson figures out his career.
Yeah, I mean, he might be done in 5 years. He might be a backup fourth wide receiver for a team in a couple of years. He did not. So either he's taken a leap forward or he's not. Now, look, here's the truth. There's one thing we know about Harbaugh-led Chargers teams. This game is more likely, even though I'm going to predict a higher scoring game, it's more likely to be a grinded out game than it is watch these two teams light it up. It's more likely, truthfully, at 2017 tonight than it is at the score I'll eventually predict because it's the first game and I want some damn points, like last night's game had at least for a half. Yes, I'm a little bit worried about the things. Look, there are real things like any team. You could say the Chiefs don't have enough defensive line depth. I wouldn't argue with you. You could say I've got questions in the secondary and whether or not Christian Fulton is a good fit. We don't know that yet. You could even say I'd like to see Joshua Simmons play an NFL snap against a starting NFL defensive end in an actual NFL game before I make a determination that he's the goods. The fun thing about Simmons is we will pay attention for all of 10 plays. And if you do not notice Josh Simmons for 10 plays, then I'll try to never think about him again and hope that I don't even have to worry about it for the remainder of the rest of the season or for the rest of the game. He is only the kind of person you pay attention to in the beginning, Gold.
Well, that's how it should be with an offensive lineman. We should not notice these guys unless they're putting someone on their ass on a big play. That's the only time we should be talking about linemen. In Kansas City, we've talked about offensive linemen way too much. That's how bad it's been at the tackle spot. So, yes, I hope that that's not something we're even focused on, as you said, by the end of the first quarter or so, or it's because we're noticing just how much time Mahomes has, and wow, there's stuff open down the field. I mean, we all know the things we want to see tonight. I don't know if we're going to see all of them. We want to see them connect early or at some point down the field to Worthy or Thornton or whoever, frankly, Hollywood Brown. Really down the
name
field,
the person. Don't
30
care.
Plus yards, big play, once or twice, connect. That'll be something I think every single person listening right now is hoping to see. I don't know if it happens tonight or not, but that's what we're hoping to see. We're obviously hoping to see Josh Simmons go out there and dominate so that we're not talking about him much the rest of the game. That's all the hope. I'm actually really excited for somebody that yesterday mentioned the revenge tour, that was Isaiah Pacheco. You know, I'm very bullish tonight on Pacheco's potential performance. Yeah. I do think it was a big deal that he just had his first training camp healthy since his rookie year. I'm not saying he's going to go have 1,200 yards this season. I'm not saying he's going to rush for a buck 40 tonight either. He might just have a nice 70 yards rushing
and a touchdown.
But I'm bullish on him tonight. I like his over rushing. I think there's a chance he finds the end zone twice tonight. I really do. That's a player I know we'll give our best bets later on in the show. But I do think Isaiah Pacheco is in for a very nice night in Brazil.
It's really tough sometimes because in the NFL, things move so fast. Essentially, we haven't seen healthy Isaiah Pacheco in what feels like a year. Right? Even the last few games we got him last year, Gold, that wasn't normal Isaiah Pacheco. That was Isaiah Pacheco coming off an injury, who is still having to share the job with Kareem Hunt. My stance has always been that if he is healthy, it's not a timeshare. Maybe down near the red zone, or maybe on third and one, where Kareem Hunt has shown a little more regular ability to be consistent in those areas. But as the every down back, Isaiah Pacheco, the last time he was fully healthy in an NFL season, looked like a very good NFL starting running back. I'm not trying to make it out to be he's Christian McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley, and McCaffrey's already hurt again, I think. I think that he popped up on the injury report last
calf
minute.
Injury. Oh boy. He's going to have to take a trip to Germany again.
Get his platelets spun or whatever the hell he does when he's over there. I'm not trying to claim he's one of the better backs in the NFL, but he is firmly like a 10 to 12 ranked guy when healthy and doing the job. And it felt like he was getting ready to like burst onto the scene a little bit more like running backs can in year two and year three. And then he suffered the injury and couldn't do it. So the offense is obviously the thing that we wanted. Like, if I got to see Patrick Mahomes throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns, and one of those touchdowns was 60 yards down the field, and there's no Rashee Rice, can you imagine how hard it will be to temper down the expectations for the offense after that? And so much of that goes back to the first thing we were saying, Gold, is if they protect Patrick Mahomes, I anticipate their ability to score points to be a lot easier. That's not crazy. Drew, I think I asked you even once. Like, well, do you think it's more important to have, if you could have the number one wide receiver unit in the NFL, like just the best collection of guys, not like four Jamar Chases, just the best receiving unit in the NFL or the best offensive line in the NFL for Patrick Mahomes, which would you choose? The other one gets to be 15th best. 15th best offensive line or 15th best weapons?
Yeah, no, I think the weapons is still what most people are going to pick. And
I think the offensive line might be the correct answer.
Right, and I think in Kansas City, we are going to probably lean more towards the O-line just recently because of how bad it has been. I think it depends on what era of your organization you're in. If you talk to someone that's in a market where their O-line has not been a problem for 5 years, they're going to say, oh, no, give me the weapons because the offensive line takes care of itself. If you're in a market like Kansas City over the last, even though you know they won Super Bowls,
there's actually
last,
a perfect answer for this.
You know, like if you're someone that's been dealing with O-line problems, you're going to put way more of an emphasis on the O-line and think it's more important. I agree with you. It is important. I just think you get basically spoiled with great O-line play that you forget about it. And that's what's happened in some other cities recently. In Kansas City, everybody's been focused on the O-line for years now because it's been a problem.
I think as a Chiefs fan, you should want the better wide receiver room because Patrick Mahomes is a good enough quarterback to overcome it with a full, healthy wide receiver room.
I think he can throw the ball to anybody.
Well, if he can stand upright. I understand that, but people act like they don't have two All-Pros on the offensive line. I think it's great. They have two All-Pros on the offensive line. The offensive line was better than half of the league last year. I know the tackle play wasn't, but the offensive line as a performance was better than half the league last year. If they have a full wide receiver room that's healthy, which we haven't seen the last couple of years, that's good. then I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you should say, I want the wide receiver room because Patrick Mahomes is good enough where even if he has bad offensive line play, he's good enough to get around all of the trouble and make plays. Point,
but aren't you curious to see the other side? He's been playing with mediocre to bad offensive line play for 2 years. He's good enough to get to a Super Bowl and win half of them over the last 2 years.
I understand, but in moments that we've seen the offensive line be... the offense has not looked that great where the defense has carried them multiple times the last 2 years. I think if you have the offensive line that is, what did you say, the 15th? If they have a 15th ranked offensive line and a top five wide receiver core, I would take that 10 times out of 10.
I'm actually interested that you said that, knowing that Cincinnati is kind of in that spot.
You also have to recognize that the Chiefs also have a top five defense. So I think that also plays a role in that.
I'm not asking a question based on the defense.
This is an offensive question. If you have a top 15 offensive line, I am 1,000% taking that crew.
I will say, I'm excited to stop talking in like hypotheticals and start talking about
7 months.
Actual games.
We're here.
I'm sick of talking about, like, what if Josh Simmons left him upright? Can I just watch him leave him upright tonight?
This is what's
and then
fun.
We get to make those determinations based on where they are. We got to find out if Xavier Worthy can take a leap forward. Because I think because of the way the season ended and the playoff numbers, I think in everyone's brain, Xavier Worthy was like a 1,000-yard guy last year. He finished the regular season with like 630 yards. There is still a leap to take for him now because in the postseason he had like 400 yards receiving. It absolutely feels that way. But it's like, I kind of want to see it in practice. Tonight, we actually get that in practice. I'm praying the field's okay, but, you know.
Yeah, that better not become a huge story. That'll frankly tick me off based off of them having a full year to correct the issues from last year. If you're going to play these games internationally, get your field figured out. And I hope the NFL did this go around. I hope that's not a huge story when we come in on Monday and we're not complaining about that. And I hope Chargers fans aren't blaming that for why they lose or something. I don't want any of that to be a factor in the game tonight. Coming up in 15 minutes, we will talk briefly about the Royals with Jake Eisenberg after a massive win yesterday. And go figure, guess who hit a game-winning home run for them? Bobby Witt Jr., of course he did. So we'll get to that in just a bit. But I wanted to continue on the Chiefs end before we get to Cowboys-Eagle, and that is we've all given our kind of perspectives on how we think the game could go and how we think the division could go, but what's your final submission for the record in 2025. I know when the schedule came out, we did it real quick. Everybody kind of, all right, win, loss,
yeah, if you made me like with a pen, quickly do it.
But text line as well. Put it down on paper.
You now know the Rashee Rice suspension too. Last time we were
guessing. We do now know he's out for the first six. What is your prediction for the Chiefs 2025 record? I also want the seed prediction. We kind of did that yesterday, I guess, a little bit.
A little bit. I did say they're going to be the number two seed in my mind.
Okay, so I have them at 13-4, I thought about 14 when the schedule came out, but now I know it's a six-gamer for Rashee Rice, and it's a very difficult six-game stretch. 13-4, to me, that is more than enough to win the AFC West because I don't believe any other team in the West is capable of getting to 13 wins. I just don't. So 13, to me, guarantees that you don't even need a tiebreaker or anything. And to me, that's a two seed. It puts you in play to push the Bills for the one, but I think the Bills potentially get the tiebreaker with a win because they usually beat the Chiefs in the regular season, or the Bills are just in such an easy division that they get to 14 wins themselves. So Chiefs 13-4 this year, including a win tonight against the Chargers.
I will say it is not an easy schedule. It lightens up, I think, by their standards pretty significantly after the bye week, where they at least get the Colts, the Cowboys, we'll see where they're at by then. They were pretty good last night. The Texans, who are kind of like a medium-level NFL team, Titans, and so on. I thought really hard about it. I almost went to 12-5, knowing the six-game suspension, because I think Rashee Rice is going to cost you one game. I don't think it'll be like they don't have any wide receivers. I just think if you knew over a six-game stretch, if I said, all right, six games, they have Rashee Rice, I might say 5-1. I might say 4-2, but whatever the other version is, it is one less win without Rashee Rice in my mind. So I ended up at 13-4 as well. That's over their win total, and I do still firmly believe, and the reason why I went the win total so high, I think it'd be easy to say 11 or 12 if you were outside of Kansas City, is I think the roster's better. On aggregate and as a whole, I think the offense is in a better, I think that the roster is better than last year's roster. Last year's roster won 15 games with an also very difficult schedule. Yeah, I think they'll lose some, but I think they'll, and look, it could go higher than that if they beat LA tonight and then take care of Philadelphia at home the next week. Then I'm going to be really thinking the win total might jump up there. But I got him at 13-4 as well. Winning the AFC West, finishing as the number two seed. I think it'll be a tie break is the problem.
You and I are the
same.
Maybe
losing to the Bills in the regular season. They're both 13-4, and they get the number one seed.
Okay.
I'm going to say 12-5. They're the two seed. Significantly better team. But, you know, to your point, Cody, the schedule is – it feels like they're just going to drop some games just because they were so good in one-score games that that luck didn't go the same way for other teams that have had it in years past to the following year. So I think that's kind of a similar storyline. I do think it's interesting. I think the Chiefs fans are going to be freaking out a little bit halfway through the season.
Look at this smirk and smile. Look at that. I mean, you guys should have seen.
So happy.
Just all of a sudden, he couldn't even get the words out of his mouth. He started laughing and smirking. Go ahead and finish. Go ahead.
I think y'all will be freaking out. They'll be 3-3 after six games. They'll be 5-5 after 10 games. And then they'll go on a hot streak, and they will win
the final seven,
and they will be the hottest team entering the postseason.
So he thinks the final seven, they'll beat the Raiders, Broncos, Titans, Chargers. I mean, that looks like four games.
5-5.
Texans, Cowboys, and Colts.
The Chiefs will be the hottest team in the league going into the playoffs this season, I think.
They will be the hottest team. So what were the I'm just curious, what are the five wins and five losses in the first 10?
Oh, let me pull up the schedule real
quick. 5-5.
So Chargers, Eagles, Giants, Baltimore. I'm going to guess that you have them losing to probably Eagles and Baltimore out of those five.
Yes, so they win tonight. They lose against the Eagles. They beat the Giants. They lose to the Ravens. They beat the Jags. They lose to the Lions. Beat the Raiders. Lose to the Commanders.
So you have them losing to any good team. Okay, all right.
Yes.
All right.
I mean, there's been some teams in the league that have been that way.
Okay.
Including the Chargers.
All right. And then they get hot. And then the hottest team entering the playoffs. Other people are saying 11-6. They think they're hitting the under, which I think is crazy.
Can I point out, this is
yes,
the thing.
I agree.
This is the thing that I do think people miss a lot, and they're missing this on the Chiefs, too.
Can I make another side bet with you, Drew, that they don't go 5-5? I really want to make this bet.
No.
Well, okay. All right. I tried.
You made an effort.
I'm not betting that.
The Chiefs have played a difficult schedule, a first place schedule against a lot of great teams every year, and they win no matter what. The team they play tonight, the Chargers, I actually pointed this out to Gold yesterday, and the Bengals, whose defense stunk against backup quarterbacks last year. Can I tell you who the Chargers beat last year? You want to talk about a team that's more ripe for regression based on schedule. It's them. Their wins last year, the Chargers, they were an 11-win team. You're like, well, that's a good football team. Here's who they beat. The Raiders and the Panthers, two stinky teams. They beat the Broncos twice. I'll give them credit there. That was a good football team. Saints, Browns, Titans, Cincinnati, who was not a very good Cincinnati team, especially during the time they beat him, Atlanta, and the Patriots. Is there a weaker win grouping out of an NFL team than what the Chargers did last year? Like, that 11 wins, I'm just saying, could be falsified defensively just based on the idea of who they face. But no, I don't think they're going 5-5 to start this.
I think Mac thinks they only, if I remember right, on Monday, Mac and I talked about this a little bit, Mac thinks they only win like 7 or 8 games. Like, the Chargers.
Yeah. I was like, Chiefs?
I was like going to say, yeah. what are we
he's
doing?
He's going to want to admit that. I mean,
if you look at their roster is not good. Like, defensively, their best player
I think they're the third best team in the division.
Their best player is an aging Derwin James, probably, is their best player on defense.
I think the Chargers are worse than the Broncos. We've been saying that for a month or so. I think the Broncos are clearly the second best team in this division. So, I don't know if the Chargers are winning 7. I think they're probably like a 9-win team. 7 would, to me, mean Justin Herbert misses a game or two due to an injury, which is obviously possible as well. But okay, so we're on the record now. Cody, you and I are both 13-4.
They do win the division.
AFC West champs, 2-seed. Drew, you have them 12-5, winning the division, but you
were 2-seed as well.
At 2-seed as well, after starting 5-5. Interesting. I like it. I mean, I don't like it, but I appreciate you throwing that out there. The bet stands until 2:00.
I'm not betting.
Yeah,
that
I want to make some
5-5.
But you picked them. You said you felt pretty good that they're going to start 5-5.
I did not say I felt pretty good. I said this is what I have them going.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about last night real quick. Cowboys, Eagles. It
Which
had
part?
Everything.
The
it
scoring,
had everything.
The lack of scoring.
I mean,
the spit.
The spit is yes. Let's start with the spit gate thing. We just add gate to everything these days. That game had everything. It had lightning delay. It had the spitting. It had the ejection. It had plenty of score, and nobody could stop each other in that game. A.J. Brown was almost held without a catch until the final drive. The spitting, though, like this is pretty simple. It is one of the dumbest things and disrespectful things you can do to anybody.
Yeah, to another human being, absolutely.
Obviously, he was going to get ejected. I don't care if Dak spit towards the ground 5 seconds earlier. That doesn't matter. He did not spit on Jalen Carter. It's way different. I'm totally on Dak Prescott's side here. I don't know how anybody can defend Jalen Carter. He's not going to get suspended for the Chiefs game, but he's probably going to get a hefty fine tomorrow.
NFL reporters started the storyline that is, well, he was pretty much already suspended for this game, which I adamantly disagree with, and that's fine. But last night's game was a good reminder for this game tonight, even. Divisional games get ugly. Divisional games get weird. The Eagles were a massive point. They might have been the third highest point spread of the weekend, Gold, weren't they? I mean, there weren't that many teams.
Yeah, 8.5 was, I think, the highest of the week.
The highest.
Denver against Tennessee and then Dallas and Eagles last night.
And I could make an argument that if CeeDee Lamb just holds onto a football, the Cowboys should have and could have won that game. The Jalen Carter thing is insane. Honestly, because they play the Chiefs next week, I hope he gets suspended.
Hey, Jalen, could you explain what happened from your vantage point?
You know, it was a mistake that happened on my side. And it just won't happen again. You know, I feel bad for just my teammates and the fans out there. You know, I'm doing it for them. You know, I'm doing it for my family also. But the fans, you know, they show the most love. You heard them out there today. And, just not being able to start the game, is just going to get it better. It won't happen again.
There's some footage later that showed that Dak may have done something first. Do you feel like he precipitated it?
A little bit of wrong. No, I don't try to do nothing out of the ordinary. You know, anything that I feel like I have done something back is provoked. But, you know, if it's something out there, y'all see it, we'll walk that.
I don't think he was provoked at all. I actually believe...
Because he said, why would I spit at you?
I believe Dak Prescott, the Walter Payton Man of the Year at one point in his career as well, over Jalen Carter and, frankly, who he's shown to be throughout the last couple of years as a person as well. And so I'll trust Dak Prescott that he said, I spit like 100 times during a game and my linemen were in front of me. I don't want to spit on my own offensive linemen. So I moved forward. I spit 3 yards in front of Jalen Carter. We made eye contact. I started smirking. And he said, hey, did you try to spit at me? And Dak's like, why do you think I wouldn't try to spit on you? And then Jalen Carter spit on him. That's what happened.
Spit on him. Spit on another adult man. I think the logic of he was pretty much suspended for this is some of the dumbest logic ever. So if he was in the fourth quarter and he got ejected from the game and he spit on him, then it's okay to suspend him for the game. No. One is an ejection. One is a suspension. The length of game you missed for the spit should not change that those are two separate acts.
But you don't actually expect it.
No, I don't. Of course, I don't. Though. I don't actually expect it. I think it should be.
Okay.
And not just because they're facing the Chiefs, just because I think if he spit on Dak Prescott in the fourth quarter, he would be suspended. I don't think the amount of time you get ejected in the game should factor in. It's not my fault you spit 7 seconds into the thing.
Yeah, unless that's your call. Look, I don't think he should be suspended. I think he should get a hefty fine and, you know, you kind of move on at that point in time. He embarrassed himself last night and he almost cost his team the football game. The Cowboys should have won that game yesterday. They covered the 8.5 as we talked about on the show yesterday. But he absolutely could have cost and almost did his team the game because the Cowboys were able to run the football, which nobody expected. Everybody's talking about how bad the backfield was. Javonte Williams looked great last night. Scored 2 touchdowns in short yardage situation too. So look, I don't, suspension to me is a bit much. I think that's a little wild, but he will get a hefty fine and he'll be playing against the Chiefs next week. If the NFL suspends him for that, then that tells you better be really careful for anybody this year because that means they really are penalty, taunting stuff, all
that.
They're going to be calling that like crazy.
Yeah, there was a lot of that in the game last night. I do fear it. It's always like a 4-week thing, though. We just got to get through a month of it.
All right, up next, let's talk a little Royals baseball, then we'll get right back into the NFL. But Jake Eisenberg will be on the call tonight as the Royals are taking on the Twins. A huge win yesterday. What does that mean? Plus some injury news.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Next.
Win with 20 home runs, one ball, one strike. There is no wind at all. And there's a high fly ball, deep left center. Back goes Ward to the wall. Gone, Bobby Witt Jr. Yeah, he's motivated. So the Royals grab a 4-3 lead.
Of course, Denny Matthews on the call there. 4-3 would be the final. And we did discuss yesterday. We said, look, the night before, that was on Bobby. But you know what? He might end up just winning the game for them later on today. That was yesterday. And that home run,
sure enough,
of course, did that for the Royals. A much-needed victory to talk more about that. And look at it, the final will be down to 22 games, I think it is. Jake Eisenberg can correct me if I'm wrong on that number. But, Jake, it's good to have you on the show, my man. We appreciate you joining us. One, they needed that, but you kind of had a feeling that after having a really rough day at the office, Bobby was going to come back and help him win a game the very next day.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way it goes with him. And it's way more, like you said after the game last night, it's way more that he's going to win you games than he's going to be on the other side of it. And you are right, there are 22 games left, and the Royals find themselves just two games back of the Mariners for the third wild card spot. And so we've got 3 weeks left, guys. And look, this is about as interesting as it gets. Sure, you'd love to be in a more comfortable position and maybe have a playoff spot more comfortably wrapped up, but these are meaningful games down the stretch. They are all going to count. They are all going to be interesting. They are all going to be tense. They are all going to be important, and that starts with tonight against the Twins.
Is it weird for me to say that I both think Bobby Witt Jr. has been a top five player in baseball this year, is a top three player in the sport, and for the culmination of the entire season, I would still say he hasn't given them enough? That might be a standard he has set for himself, but it's like the Mahomes factor. Like, I still say, Bobby, there's more there. Like, I can get more from you.
I mean, Cody, I love you, but that is a ridiculous statement.
I did say he's a top five player in baseball still.
Oh, we'll get that.
That's my point. Like, short of him being a switch hitting catcher that's hit 50 home runs or putting together a Barry Bonds like season, like, what do you want here? I mean, last year, let's be clear, last year was one of the greatest single seasons of all time in recent baseball history. Full stop. That's what we were talking about. That's where the bar was set entering this year. And so there is understandable that repeating that kind of a particular season, we haven't seen back-to-back seasons quite like that since, you know, peak Mike Trout, probably in like the early 2010s, or maybe what Aaron Judge has done specifically offensively over the last few years, or I don't know, Shohei Ohtani, who's hitting and pitching and doing 50-50 things as a DH, like in ways that we've never seen before. But let's be clear, like you look at the F-War rankings right now, Bobby Witt Jr. has 6.9 wins above replacement on Fangraphs. That is third most in all of Major League Baseball, only behind Aaron Judge and Cal Raleigh. He is playing a premium position. Should be another Gold Glove season for him at shortstop. He is in the center of his line. Cody, I don't know what more you want out of what's been an incredible.
I'm trying to squeeze a little more juice out of there, you know?
A little more juice. Okay. Okay. Sure.
Jake, he's a greedy SOB is what it is. All right. I appreciate you providing us a drop, though.
I hope tomorrow that if Patrick Mahomes throws for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns tonight, I hope you get on the show on Monday and be like, yeah, but did he throw one left-handed? Like,
show a little flash on it, you know?
Oh, my goodness. We're talking to Jake Eisenberg here on 96.5 The Fan. We know that this wild card race is tightened up. You know, not only is it the Mariners, but you've got now the Guardians and the Rays and the Rangers that are all right there with the Royals as well. Is it still the Mariners for you, like, because they are occupying a spot that's the team that they really still are kind of chasing, or are you now looking and say, man, Texas is playing some pretty darn good baseball as well?
I mean, I think, look, you got to chase the team that currently has the spot. And right now that is the Mariners. And even though they have sputtered in September, that's still a team that has, at least on paper, one of the best rotations in the sport. And they've got the guy that I think should be the American League MVP in Cal Raleigh, and what he's done this season, both catching and being a switch hitter, hitting 50-plus home runs and chasing down Mickey Mantle's switch hitting record. Yeah, I think the Mariners are still the team that you're chasing, and I think that's especially true considering 11 days from now, you've got a 3-game series at home against the Mariners. And from my perspective, as long as you are within 3 games of the Mariners by the time that series rolls around, yeah, you're right in this thing.
Looking at where the Royals are, I've still been, and this is one of the biggest compliments I can pay this year's team, even though I want them to be in the playoffs, and that was still the standard of success for me. Them overcoming the pitching has been incredible. But now they lose Seth Lugo to the IL. Reagans isn't back from the IL. Chris Bubich is still gone for the year. Like, can they survive this? Like, now Lugo on the bench, and, like, you know, Cameron, who I thought bounced back nice after the first inning last night, has had a couple of shaky starts. Can they do this again? Can Burgert and can Kolek, can they make that work for the next 3 weeks?
I mean, you certainly hope so. I do think it's a great point that you make, and something that I think someone has flown under the radar nationally and maybe locally to a degree too. But, like, on paper, how many teams lose two guys that were top five in the Cy Young last year and a guy who was a breakout all-star this year and still find themselves in playoff contention with 3 weeks left in the season? I would say probably none. I remember asking J.J. Piccolo, you know, a question similar like that, you know, right around the trade deadline. I was like, hey, you know, put the shoe on the other foot. If you're one of the other 29 teams, would you be surprised that the Royals are doing what they're doing, given that Reagans hasn't thrown, you know, a pitch in the big league since early June? Seth Lugo is now on the injured list for a second time this season and hasn't quite been himself for the last month. Chris Bubich, you haven't really had him the entire second half of the year. I mean, that speaks to how good Noah Cameron has been. I mean, even with the rough patch that he had, he's still a rookie starting pitcher with an ERA just a shade over 3 in 20 starts. Ryan Burgert has been terrific. He's basically looked like Noah Cameron did when he first came up. Steven Kolek delivered a quality start. Michael Wacha has been the unsung hero of this rotation the entire season. He has been as steady as it gets. I think it's a testament to how good the depth has been from unexpected places. You know, we expected it to be Alec Marsh and Kyle Wright. It's been Noah Cameron and trade acquisitions in Ryan Burgert and now Steven Kolek, who's going to get the ball on Saturday. Can they do it again? Time will tell, but every indication is that they can.
We know the Chiefs are playing in Brazil tonight. I don't know how many countries you've been to, if any, outside of the United States or not, Jake, but where would you want a baseball game? Where'd you want to call a baseball game? What other country?
Well, I learned the other day that you haven't been out of the country, so we gotta fix that.
I'm changing that in November. I'm going to the Bahamas in November.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. I actually have been to Brazil. I've been there for only a day. My wife and I went to Argentina on our honeymoon, and we went to Brazil for a day in the midst of that trip. Where would I like to see a baseball game? I think that Major League Baseball has done a really great job of kind of spreading out a little bit. We've seen games in Mexico. We've seen games in Japan, in Korea. We've seen games in Puerto Rico, and we've seen games in Cuba. I think that those places that we have games are really interesting. I think one that would be really cool, and there's definitely way more political stuff that would have to get figured out, but given the amount of Venezuelan talent in the sport, I think a game in Venezuela would be electric beyond belief. There's certainly a lot of hurdles to clear before that's something that can happen, but I think that's a destination where Major League Baseball hasn't been, but certainly has a ton of popularity that would be incredible. And it wasn't too long ago, maybe a decade or so ago, that there was the Venezuelan Winter League. And so there was affiliated baseball that was being played there during the course of the offseason. And of course, there's the Venezuelan Winter League now that there's so many superstars that we see in Major League Baseball playing. I think Venezuela would be a really cool place for a Major League Baseball game. I do think that's going to take quite a bit more time, though.
Jake, we know you'll be on the call for the Royals game tonight over on the Fan AM, same time the Chiefs are in action tonight. What's your official Chiefs prediction? What do you got score-wise?
Score-wise? let's see. It depends. How many touchdowns Patrick Mahomes throws left-handed? Chiefs win. Let's go 28-16.
Comfortable win. They
is that a score
well.
Agami? That's an interesting score. 28-16.
There's no way that's score Agami, but that's a strong prediction. I like it, Jake.
Yeah, I don't know. Just going off the beaten path. It's Brazil. Who knows what can happen?
Jake, appreciate you as always. I also really appreciate you for providing us this gym today.
Cody, I love you, but that is a ridiculous statement.
So I appreciate having that ready for us. Have a good call,
man.
Oh,
yeah.
Make sure
you have a button ready for that one. It's going to be in use plenty this season.
There you go. That's Jake Eisenberg with us here on 96.5 The Fan. Yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Cody, I love you, but that is a ridiculous statement.
Cody, I love you, but that. I mean, at least he said he loves me first. You know?
We might have to have one version where it's just Cody. That's a ridiculous take.
You know, it's tough. Look, the Royals needed that win last night, just like they needed the one the night before. The seventh wild card spot keeps you in it in a way that you did not have and were not going to be in it before. And while you tried to blow your chances at the playoffs, they didn't get blown because everyone else lost besides you. So you're only two games back. You got the team two games ahead of you in a week and a half. Or 2 weeks? Yeah, sometime here in the next couple of weeks when they're here for a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday set. So we'll see exactly how it goes. That homer for Bobby, boy, that had to feel like a relief for him yesterday.
You could see it coming, though. I mean, honestly, I know we talked about it yesterday, but like truly, it wasn't like this hard-to-predict kind of thing. Like, star players like him don't have games like he had two nights ago very often.
No,
when they do, they usually try to make up for it, and they do, and they're capable because they're that freaking good. And he did right away. And I know Salvador Perez hit a home run in the game, too. Someone's like, that was the bigger home run. Whatever.
It was also a huge home run. Vinny's home run to make it 3-2 was huge.
Every home. They needed
every home
run.
They needed all of them. They didn't have anybody on base.
They needed everyone.
But one of them won the game.
So that was nice to see. They are back at it tonight. We were saying, though, unfortunately, tonight, just bad timing for everybody. You know,
it might be a light crowd at the K.
The crowd tonight at Kauffman for a 6:41 pitch when the Chiefs play at 7 for the opening kickoff. Ooh.
All right. Early random question. It won't count as the official random question. If I offered you and your friends 20 free crowd seats tonight for you and your friends to go sit at the K at Kauffman Stadium, would you go?
No.
No. You can watch the game on your phone, the Chiefs game on your phone.
No.
It's on YouTube.
Nope. And it sounds very spoiled, but no.
I offered you 20 tickets for you, family, friends, whoever wants to go.
It's a no-go tonight, man. That would be a no-go. I wouldn't be able to get family and friends to go, too. They all want to watch the Chiefs game.
You think you'd have a hard time getting 20?
Yes. I have multiple family members that I know would absolutely say no.
Would just turn you down flat out.
Yeah.
Tough.
And I would go.
I'd like to know. 913-586-7965.
And I love going out to Royals games. But tonight, it's one of those nights.
YouTube, Twitter,
it's a
Twitch,
rare
Facebook,
Friday week one Chiefs game. I'm sorry.
Do they have the game
on Twitch?
Club?
Yeah. Someone who's handling on Twitch is Casey Wolf says, Crown? Yes, but that's literally the only way. There's no other seat in the house you could offer me.
So if you want to hit up Cody on Twitter, he's offering you crowd. Just like Carrington.
Cody has all of those right now.
I'm just asking.
Just like Carrington offered me tickets to go to Columbia. It's the same thing. Cody's offering tickets for the Crown Club tonight.
A lot of people saying they take Crown. More people than I thought.
Someone's calling in right now to claim them.
I don't have tickets.
You can watch the game, though, at the K, also being in Crown. I feel like
what are you doing? You're just there to eat and drink for free and put the Chiefs game? I don't think they put the Chiefs game on the TVs down there, man. I got to say,
Okay, okay. I'm not for tonight, though. I think you have to.
You think the Chiefs games are on the TV? It's Kauffman Stadium.
Cody, I'll
be totally honest. If they did do that, I
in
would
suites,
take the
you,
crown.
In
I,
suites, you can change.
I would take the Crown Club seats.
It's practically
and I would,
a playoff
I would just
game
watch
for
the game
Royals every game they play.
Just watch the game.
Well, I know you would take the Crown Club tickets. You're not a Chiefs fan, Drew.
I still have to watch the game. I still have to, you know, pay attention to the game
people
and all these other things.
People are sending their email.
Hey, Cody Harrison, send me the tickets and then we'll talk.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Cody doesn't really have the tickets, just like Carrington never really had the tickets to offer them to me. So
I was just asking.
Yeah. All right.
I don't have 20 Crown Club seat tickets for the night.
Cody's preemptively acting like he won the Powerball tomorrow night, which you guys see. Nobody won, so it's like one. It's going to be $2 billion by the time we get to it tomorrow night.
$2 billion, man.
Again, the rule is if you want to share, you got to. If you want to,
hey, if either of us win this one, can we up it to $2 million just for this one?
Deal.
I think that seems fair. Deal. You know our standard deal here. So.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We're up to $2 million on that.
$2 billion jackpot by the time we get to it.
Seems more than fair.
Last night there was something else that came out of the game that I think
feels like it's going to impact the Chiefs.
Could impact everybody. Yeah, and that was the broadcast was talking about the kicking balls, right? These K balls. That there's a rule change here, and then Pat McAfee kind of explained it more, and he obviously punted the league, so he knows what he's talking about when it comes to this. I'm wondering, are we just going to expect a bunch of like 58 plus yard field goals on a regular basis? Because the K balls are now going to be allowed to be brought to the game by the teams. So essentially they can warm up the football, something they couldn't do before.
They
for
only
kickers.
Had like 30 minutes. They had like a, it was like a clock.
Timer. McAfee said he thinks by his estimation, there is a 10 to 15 yard swing in a well broken in football versus a football fresh out of the box. So he's saying like, hey, don't be surprised to see some long field goals. And we know kickers have been kicking further than ever anyway. But I think we're going to see multiple 65-yard field goals this year.
If that's the case, you know what it is? I'm kind of adamantly against this. I thought kicking has already gotten too easy for the NFL. And now you just told me you made it significantly easier? Or here's the question I have for you, though. Do I think now they can make those kicks? Yes, Gold. I think that based on everything we're reading, former kickers, everybody talking about it, it seems clear that this is going to impact the games. And for the Chiefs, who have one of the biggest leg kickers in the NFL and one of the most accurate kickers in NFL history, this seems like an advantage. Are you attempting a 65-yard field goal that's going to give the team the ball on their own 40-yard line or your 40-yard line if you miss? The only time these extra long kicks are coming into play is at the end of the game. In the sense, Gold, that is, if I only leave them 22 seconds on the clock and they got to get a field goal to tie it for me, that ain't enough anymore. One catch and they're in field goal range. This is only going to factor at the end of the game in the most crunch moments, I think, because I don't think someone's going to attempt a 63-yarder that's going to give the other team halfway to a touchdown.
Yeah, it's going
to
be end of halves and that kind of stuff. Crucial moment. I'm with you. Yeah, we're not going to see a first drive of the game. If it's a fourth and four and it's a 65-yard field goal, I don't think they're going to be sending out Harrison Butker that early in the game for the reason you pointed out. But I think we're going to see multiple 65-yarders made this year. If this is true, if McAfee's right, and he knows what he's talking about when it comes to kicking.
Yeah.
You know, if that's an extra 10 or 15 yards every kick, let's say your kicker's range normally is 55 to 56. A 60
Butker's
is,
already been 60. Oh, can he make a 75-yarder?
I'm just talking about like the average kicker. Butker's obviously better than that, like in terms of distance. So I think if somebody's range is technically a comfortable 55 to 57, you got to extend it out to 60 plus now.
I kind of don't like this from an Andy Reid perspective. From a Chiefs-specific part of this content, I think having as good of a kicker as Harrison Butker has made Andy even more conservative than the level of conservative I want him to be anyway. I would like him to be the Dan Campbells of the world. I would like him to go for more fourth downs. And I think the comfort of knowing it's three, and I know it's three. It's not a question if it will be, maybe it won't be. If he's 52 yards out, that's three, and it's fourth and two. And because he knows with 90% certainty in his brain, I got points, he doesn't go for it because of the confidence in his kicker. If all of a sudden the guy from 52, it's nothing, and really his range is 70 out, I think it makes Andy even more conservative in that regard. Where I think with the offense and the weapons they have, I would like Andy to go for more.
Or are you more aggressive?
Take more chances.
I don't know how or are you more aggressive because you know your opponent can easily get into field goal range if it's going to be 65 yards.
Yeah, maybe you go for more touchdowns late.
We'll see how it plays out.
It does
out.
Feel like there's a strategy part of this that we haven't seen yet, especially because this is the first year of this implemented change. Will they stick with it? I don't know. If everyone's just banging 66 yarders before half, it feels like it's going to have an impact on the final scores of these games. Should I be taking overs, Gold? What do you think?
I don't know if it's to that. I wouldn't adjust that yet, but it's something to keep an eye on, certainly.
To think that a team's going to be, if the Chiefs have 4th-and-1 from the 50, and Andy's like, we're going to kick this field goal, that's a ridiculous decision.
Correct. I would agree with that.
Yeah, first quarter, it's a 60-yard kick. I don't think they're going to send Harrison Butker out there. I think they'll punt. I think Andy will take the penalty and punt.
Or just go for it.
If it's 4th-and-2, I'd like him to just go for it.
Yeah.
Because that's even, in my mind, that's less risky than attempting the field goal.
If you have,
because they get 7 less yards in addition to it in the field position.
The thing that I don't get at times is Andy Reid has what everybody I think agrees on, except for some people, the best quarterback in the NFL. Why are you not trusting him to get you 2 yards? He can't get you 2 yards.
It's just not the way
Andy
plays.
Don't run the ball on 4th-and-2. Don't run it on 4th-and-1. You don't even need to. Don't even QB. Don't think about QB sneaking football. Anything. Throw the football and trust the best quarterback in the league that you're paying all that money to.
Who's one of the more clutch runners too?
Yes,
it's just not who he is.
I don't understand why he doesn't do it more often. Because if Dan Campbell can trust Jared Goff, then Andy Reid should be able to trust Patrick Mahomes every single time to get one single solitary yard. It doesn't even matter if they're on their own side of the field.
Drew, the short answer is it doesn't cost him. It might cost some other team. It might.
That's because the defense steps up. That's why I know.
It's not just the defense. That's not what. That's certain. Don't lump me in with that.
No, it is because they get the ball. No, hang on a second. If you're going to punt it from the 50 on 4th-and-1, you are relying on your defense to get you the ball back.
You, in a way, yes, but it's not. It's just more about the fact that there is a point with the Chiefs, and I think that this is the part that you haven't come around on, Drew, that you probably should. I can critique things that I would do a little bit different in game, this, that, when it comes to the Chiefs. But I can't just bang the table and be like, what they're doing is idiotic. The success.
The results
is,
are there.
I'm not saying what he's doing
the
is wrong. I just
and
don't,
the success
I don't understand
is too
it.
High for me to just be like, well, there's just no way. I'm saying I'd like Andy to be a little more aggressive. It would bring me joy if he did that. And I think that there's an advantage.
How much easier
in
it could
but
be.
It's not like it's burning him, you know? So I can't really I can't tell him. I can't say Andy's an idiot for not going for more 4th downs. That's crazy. I can't go that far. I can just politely request that he goes for more and hope that it would make a difference if he did. Gold, you and I have talked about this. I mean, there's a point of you can question, but you can only question to a certain degree with Andy because of the success.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's...
But this is the same thing. I think I'm going to still have the stance of one time it's going to burn him, and it's going to burn him really badly, and it's going to cost him a game that means something. It's going to be a playoff game, and it's going to cost you, and it's going to be like, man, you have to... I'm not saying he's wrong by doing it, obviously, because he's had success, but it would make it so much easier if you could score a touchdown on a drive when you can trust your quarterback, who's the best in football, to get you 1 yard and make the right decision, than punting and hoping your defense can make a play. Thankfully, for the Chiefs, they have to this point, and it hasn't cost them anything. But it feels like if you're more aggressive, I don't know how many more points that equivalates to, but you can make it so much easier where you're not stressing out late in games like you were all year last year.
But if they win them, they don't care.
I mean, it's the NFL. I think it's the NFL. Most games are going to be very close again all year. I don't know if they're going to have 17 straight one-score game wins and all that, continuing that. But they're going to be in close games throughout the season. It's the NFL. I mean, this is why the Cowboys should not have been 8.5-point underdogs last night. They're just teams are the gap is not as large as we think it is in the NFL compared to college football or whatever. But you were very interested in this kicking topic. So do you want to officially be the ball watcher? Do you want to watch the balls this year for us?
I'm not interested in it like that. Are you asking me?
Yes, you got to play the drop of Drew talking about decorating his own, you know?
I figured you wanted to be locked into those this year for kicking.
I'm not dusty. I'm not locked in that sort of way.
We're just checking. I was just checking, Drew.
How are you throwing dusty into this? I did say dusty does seem to focus on the middle part of the shorts for a lot of people.
All right, up next, Josh.
Off the rip, too. It's not even it's like after 15 minutes, it's like, hey, did you notice this? No, I didn't, Dusty. I didn't.
Up next.
Anyways, shout out to Dusty.
Josh Briscoe. He's going to have pre and post tonight on the Chiefs Radio Network here on 96.5 The Fan. We will get his perspective on what we're going to see in Brazil tonight.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer.
Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.